Good evening again. We're still dealing with the providence of God. I was thinking last evening and this afternoon, there's no way to come to the end of this. Just no way. Every chapter you read, nearly every verse you read, depending on what book you're in, but definitely in every chapter of the Bible, the providence of God just jumps out at you. Now, let me say again that the providence of God is God's working out of His will in the world and in the lives of His people. Whether it be through natural or supernatural means, God is working out His will on a daily basis where our lives are concerned. Now, that's hard for us to understand sometimes when providence gives us a hard blow. But when it's sweet to us and providence kisses you in the morning and tucks you in the evening, then, boy, we really appreciate God. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. But then when God takes us to the woodshed, and things don't work out exactly the way we think it ought to work out, then there's another verse to the song. And we're bad about fussing and arguing with the providence of God. Amen. Now, we all do it, don't we? Yeah. Every last one of us do it. I want you to come with me tonight to the book of Esther. This little book is a fantastic read. If you've never read the book of Esther, and a lot of folks haven't, I don't know at the times I've asked people, especially in dealing with teaching them, have you ever read the book of Esther? And most folks would say, no. Well, why not? And you hear excuses, well, that's all about Jews. Not really. It's all about God. It's all about the providence of God in the life of His people. I'm just going to read a few verses. These are the days, of course, of Ahasuerus, who is one of the Xerxes kings that we read about in secular history. Matter of fact, in all probability, the first of the Xerxes kings, because he comes along not too long after Nebuchadnezzar. So we have Nebuchadnezzar, then you have Darius and Cyrus, both in that realm, and then comes along this king, because the Jews are still in captivity. And they're only in captivity how many years? 70 years. So the kings change places real quickly. But this is the king of the Medes and the Persians. He has been able to unite the Medes and the Persians. And now the Persians, of course, are the Babylonians, and the Medes, of course, another breed. So he's been able to unite the two. All right, so Esther now is a very important little figure here in the Word of God. Let me read this to you. It came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, that in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, when he shewed the riches of his glorious kingdom to the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 180 days. Now, he must have had a pretty good catch of whatever. He's showing this for a long time. In all probability, the people that are the heads of state in all those provinces are coming in shifts, so to speak. And that way he's showing them for that particular amount of time. And when these days were expired, I'm in verse 5, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto the great and the small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Now be seated, thank you. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream, if you've read the book of Daniel, then you remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar's dream was interpreted by Daniel. And Daniel, in interpreting that dream, said that Nebuchadnezzar was the golden kingdom, or the head of that massive structure that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about. So Nebuchadnezzar was the head, he's the gold. Ahasuerus is the silver. So this is the silver nation as far as history is concerned. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom's gone. Now comes that silver nation before us. And when the king is busy showing off all of his wares, he finally decides, after he gets right good and drunk, he finally decides, well, there's one particular possession that I haven't shown off yet. And so he calls for the queen. He wants to show her off. Now, undoubtedly, she's a beautiful woman. I wouldn't know a king that wouldn't have a beautiful wife, would you? Unless he's blind. And I mean, there's just something about a queen. So here is a beautiful woman, and he wants to show her off. And he sends for her to come so he can show her off to all those people that are there. But she refuses to come. Says, no, I'm not coming. There's a lot of things that enter into this, and I'm not going to get into all that. But the fact remains that she wouldn't come. She did not obey the command of the king. Well, the king gets angry. And he is so angry that those of the heads of state about him recognize his anger. And they said, we need to do something about this. And finally, the decision was to dethrone Vashti. That was her name. Dethrone her and find a new queen somewhere in the kingdom. Now the decree goes out, and we don't know how many young women were brought to the palace, but a host of beautiful women were brought to the palace. And when they came, they had to be purified for a year before they could see the king. Now what that means, girls, is they were clean when they got to the king. All right? I mean, they didn't come from Pogi without getting cleaned up. You didn't see any of them with missing teeth, cross-eyed, all the things that befall all of us from time to time. They were beautiful women. And so they would spend one night with the king. And if he was pleased with them, then he'd call them back. But if not, they never saw the king again. And they could never go free and marry someone else. They were kept as prisoners to the king for the rest of their lives. Now that's a pretty good gamble, isn't it? Huh? I mean, a woman gambles one night of her life on the rest of her life. I don't think that's a good bet at all. But nonetheless, there is a man in the kingdom that is a Jew. His name is Mordecai. He is the cousin. Now, let's get this right. I don't know how many times I hear preachers say he's the uncle to Esther or Hadassah. That was her original name. He's not the uncle. She is the daughter of Mordecai's uncle. Now, you get the picture? So, cousins they are. And he has taken her and reared her up because both mother and father have died. And he has reared this girl up. Now, Mordecai, for some reason or the other, has decided to make it his life to stay near the gate of the city. He gets all the news knows everything that's going on, keeps his ear to the stone to see if anything goes afoul. But as the story goes, Esther is taken to the king. Her time came, and she takes what toiletries she's got to take with her, and she goes to be with the king for her night. And it just so happens that the king is pleased with her. Now, let's back up just a moment. Something is about to develop in the land. And God, in His providence, is fixing to scotch it by what He's allowing to take place. Of all the women that were brought to the palace, Esther pleases the king more so than all. Must be a reason for that. Because you see, Esther is a Jew. And to this point in time, she has not revealed that she's a Jew. It could mean that she would lose her position. It could mean that she could not even come among the beautiful women. But the only regulation that the king had for the queen was not that she be real smart. Most real pretty women are not real smart. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but most real pretty women are not real smart. Mark that down. You can say, I said it. If we get to glory and I'm wrong, I'll repent right in the face of God Almighty. But I have found it in my lifetime that most pretty women are not real smart. Say amen right there. Esther is evidently blessed with not only beauty, but a brain at the same time. That's almost an oxymoron. We won't spend a whole lot of time. But it's almost an oxymoron. Esther now is chosen to be queen. Get a hold of the story now. Stay with me. Esther is chosen to be queen. And when she's chosen to be queen, that leaves all those other women out of the picture. Now let's just suppose that one of them knew she was a Jew. Somehow God kept this undercover all this time. Now it'll come out after a while, but when it does, it'll be at the right time. But this is all kept undercover. Mordecai comes to the gate every day to check on her and make sure she's all right. Hears the news, takes the news to her. And one day, Mordecai hears of a plot to kill the king among two of the king's henchmen. So Mordecai goes and tells the queen, and the queen tells the king, and it's written in the book, and those two men are hanged, by the way, and Mordecai's name is written in the book that he reported this almost murder of the king. Now that's just something that happened. Nothing going on here. Just happened. You do understand that. God's not doing anything here. No. The picture is not being painted right here. The brush hadn't touched the canvas at all. If you believe that, I've got some good land. I mean ocean front land. I need to sell you in a chosen state, where there's no ocean within 1,000 miles. So hear what I'm saying. God is working this thing out through, seems like, natural circumstance. And so, Esther, now queen. And then there comes another fellow in the picture. His name is Haman. Haman is a lovely old boy. He's so full of pride. If you'd thump him, he'd burst like a pumpkin. And Mordecai is at the gate. Well, Haman is exalted in the kingdom. And when Haman walks out the gate, everybody bows but Mordecai. Kind of reminds you of three Hebrew children, doesn't it? Everyone bows but Mordecai. And Haman notices this and he gets angry. And so underhandedly he goes to the king and says, King, there's some people in this land that are going to cause big problems if they're allowed to live. And he said, I'll put a gob of money. I don't remember exactly how much it was. But he said, I'm going to put a bunch of money in the king's treasury if you'll just let me take care of this. So the king signed an order. Take care of it, big guy. Haman now sends letters to all of those provinces that on a certain day, all the people in those provinces is to do battle against the Jews and slay them and take everything they have as the prey. Mordecai hears of it. And Mordecai strips off his clothes and puts on sackcloth and is walking back and forth and praying out beside the gate. And all the Jews in Shushan are hearing and they're doing the same thing. But Esther's in the queen's palace and hasn't heard anything about it yet. But some of her maidens come by and Mordecai sends word to her and says, do you not know what's going on? They're going to kill us. Take everything we've got if you don't do something. Now the law was, the Medes and the Persians, if anyone stepped in before the king and the king didn't hold out the scepter to them, they were slain. That included the queen. And she told Mordecai, listen, I can't just walk in there. If I walk in there and the king doesn't hold out the scepter, then what's going to happen to me? But Mordecai says something to her. You've heard it said from time to time. Probably didn't know where it came from. But Mordecai said, who knows? But what you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now here's what she says. She says, okay, if it cost me my life, it cost me my life. I'm going to the king. Amen. So she goes to the king. And rather than giving the king her petition at that hour, she just says, King, I want you and Haman. Who's that dude? He's the one started all this. I want you and Haman to come to a banquet that I'm going to give. So they both go to the banquet. And the king says, what's your request? Even to the half of the kingdom, you can have it. He's pretty liberal, wasn't he? She said, I want you to come to another banquet tomorrow night. All right, I'll do that. Now, here's what happens. Haman leaves that banquet, walks out the door, everybody bows, and there stands Mordecai. Did you get the picture? There stands Mordecai. Mordecai doesn't bow. So now you see he's all built up and he's been to that banquet and he feels like, oh buddy, I'm number two in the land. I am somebody. And here this boy won't bow. Oh, I got to get rid of him. So he goes home and tells his wife, said, I'm telling you, I've really moved up in the land, but there's one thing that's eating me alive. Mordecai won't bow. Mama's got the answer. Mama said, build a gallows. Build a gallows and hang him on that gallows. So he built a hanging tree. And with all the plans to hang Mordecai. Now that his little gallows is built, he goes back to see the king because he wants to tell the king right now, I want to hang that dude. But while he's building that, the king is back in his office reading the minutes of the meetings past. And it just happens to come across a place where two men have planned to slay him, and a fellow by the name of Mordecai had reported it to the king. And the king said, well, what's been done for this man? And they said nothing. Now let me ad lib a little bit. Do you mean to tell me that this man warned me that somebody was going to kill me and we've done nothing for him? We've got to reward him. And he said, who's here? Who's in the courtyard? And it just so happened. Now listen to this. The paintbrush hadn't touched the thing yet. Guess who's in the courtyard? Haman is in the courtyard coming to ask the king for the privilege of hanging Mordecai. And the king said to Haman, hey, Haman, what should be done to the man that the king seeks to honor? Now, you know what Haman thinks, don't you? Oh, buddy, that's me he's talking about. Oh, yeah. Well, king, I tell you what I think you ought to do. If it's not Barney Fife, it ain't nothing. I tell you what I think you ought to do. I think you ought to put the royal robe on him, and I think you ought to get the royal chariot out and the royal steed and have him driven through the city streets and somebody crying, this is what the king does to those that he wants to honor. And the king said, good idea. Good idea. Go get Mordecai and put the robe on him and put it. Woo! Can't you see his face? Great time in the morning. So guess what he has to do? He has to take Mordecai through the streets of the city and cry out before him, this is what the king will do to those whom he seeks to honor. Well, the trip is over. And he runs back home. He says, Mama, things ain't working out like I thought they was going to. And he tells her what happened. And she said, oh, no. This ain't good. Because if Mordecai, that Jew, has begun to rise, you're going down, big guy. You're going down. It's time for the next banquet, and here comes Haman, all troubled because of the circumstances. And he goes to the queen, and he's trying to talk to the queen. And a couple of other things have happened I don't need to get into right now, but he starts talking to the queen and begging for his life. The king has walked out into the garden, but he comes back in, and it looks like he's trying to force the queen on her bed. Whoa, now. Hey, this is not the garbage collector. This is the king, and that's the queen. And it looks like he's trying to force her on her bed. Guess what happens to him right now? The king said, get that rascal out of here and put him to death. And guess what happened to him? He got hung on his own hanging tree. Now that king, listen, it don't get any better than that, honey. When God turns the circumstance entirely around from what man plans and the enemy of the Jews is slain. Now the story's deeper than that. This letter that has gone out now is according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, and it cannot be altered. It cannot be stopped. So the letter has gone out, and that means that the people of the land are going to slay those Jews on that particular day, according to the law. So what's going to happen? How can this be fixed? Well, the king now has moved Mordecai into Haman's slot. Hey, is this good or is this good? Hollywood has never produced anything like this. Mordecai now has moved into Haman's slot. And Mordecai tells the king, we need to write a letter to all the provinces and get it out there that on that particular day, the Jews can arm themselves, they can defend themselves, and they can fight back. So the letter goes, and everything's set up. And on that day, the Jews fight back, and the Jews are delivered. Are you listening to me? The Jews are delivered. And this book closes with a few little words along this line. Haman loses everything he had. His family loses everything. As a matter of fact, Haman's big house is given to the queen. Amen. And Mordecai is exalted to number two man in the land. Now, can you see the hand of God anywhere? Can you see back there when Mordecai is out there at the gate and he hears that and he reports it? It could have been that Mordecai wouldn't have heard it. But that's not the way God had it planned. Folks, listen to me. We're living in rough times. And it looks like, if God doesn't move miraculously, it looks like we're going to lose this nation. If we lose this nation, there's nothing to keep those communists from killing you and me. They'd love to do that. They'd love to get rid of any competition there is. Listen, and the only competition to communism is truth. God's people. If we're God's people, then we've got to look to God to deliver us from this circumstance. The only hope we have is for the hand of God to move on our behalf. The Republicans can't help us. It's gone too far. The Democrats won't help us because they're the enemy. I said to a fellow the other day, why are you calling them Democrats? They are no longer Democrats. They're communists. Now, if I pulled your chain, I'm sorry, but I'm telling you the truth. They are communists. Our only hope is for God to move on our behalf. I'm sure that America's ripe for judgment. As a matter of fact, when Mr. Trump was elected the last time, I said, God has given America a reprieve. And we didn't appreciate it. Amen. Now, if God somehow in His mercy gives us another reprieve, we better appreciate it. Amen. And we better get behind the truth and our liberties, and declare it to be so, and get these laws changed and these hobos Amen. Out of the places of making the rules and the laws of this nation. Amen. And this nation needs to get back down to the size that it can be controlled by the voter. The only hope we have is God. Amen. The only hope the Jews had in Shushan and all the other provinces was God. Amen. Are you getting the picture? And God has the brush in His hand. Amen. And He's painting the picture to bring it to a close. Amen. This thing's about over. Amen. It's about over. Amen. It could happen more quickly than you suppose it could happen. Amen. It's going to happen. But if God spares us, let's be grateful for what He's done. Let me finish the story. Guess what the Jews did? When they fought back and won, they made that a holiday. They made it a day of rejoicing and sending gifts from one to the other. Hey, are you still with me? You understand what I just said to you? They're rejoicing because God has given them the victory. If God gives us a victory again, we better be rejoicing. And we better be doing what the Jews did in this circumstance. The providence of God, the hand of a mighty God moving in the affairs of man to preserve His people. When it comes to where you and I can't fix it, who has to fix it? Only God. Yes. Only God. We need to be praying for God to fix it. Yes, sir. Let's stand to our feet.